Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We got dogs, Milwaukee! It is kind of cool when you are the reigning champion and days later, everyone's freaking out over the lottery pick and the new talent to help you get to the top, but you're the team that's at the top and you're not so concerned about who that draft pick's going to be. Maybe the front office is, but the fans don't need to worry about it or obsess about it nearly as much. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, our new tribute to the Milwaukee Bucks. A half century in the making, that drought is over. But the draft was taking place, as always, right on the heels of the NBA Finals. Detroit, Houston, selecting 1 and 2 overall, and a lot of lottery picks that are now headed for new homes and will have an opportunity to shift the balance of power in the NBA. Plus, Russell Westbrook ends up in Los Angeles. He finally gets the chance to go home, but his fourth team in 4 years. Will this one finally result in the ring that he so desperately covets? And will LeBron James have another to add to his growing safe full of hardware before his career is ultimately over? So it's all about keeping up with the Joneses, or in this case, trying to topple the Milwaukee Bucks. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. You may have forgotten this, but the Dodgers are actually the defending champions in Major League Baseball. A shortened season, a COVID season, 2020, though they did snap a drought that stretched all the way back to 1988, and clearly they're not ready to give up the throne. Man, it was a day full of hard-hitting news from the world of baseball, and to that end, we are pleased to welcome longtime baseball insider Scott Miller, who's also keeping up with the New York Times and is contributing to their baseball coverage in 2021. All right, Scott, I'm going to ask you the same question I have been asking myself all day long. What the heck is happening in baseball right now? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, some good stuff all day and in these last 24 hours before the trade deadline, huh, Amy? I mean, geez, Max Scherzer, 1 minute he looks headed to the Padres, and then obviously that was premature. And, then the Nationals end up sending him and shortstop Trey Turner to the Los Angeles Dodgers, a huge blockbuster deal. And the Yankees, of course, getting Joey Gallo from the Rangers and Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs, and on and on and on it goes. It's been crazy, and we have until 4 o'clock Eastern on Friday before it's over.
How did the Dodgers come in underneath and snatch Scherzer and Turner both away from the Padres? Because for a while on Thursday, it sounded like, as you point out, that San Diego was the team that was going to land Mad Max.
Yeah, the Padres were engaged in discussions with the Nationals, no doubt. They were trying for Scherzer, but I think a couple things. One, the Padres weren't alone. There were multiple teams really trying to get Scherzer. All three teams that are in front of the National League West, Padres, Dodgers, Giants, were all interested, among others. I think a few things. One, Scherzer had a no-trade clause, so he could kind of direct himself where he wanted to go once the offers came in. But secondly, the Dodgers paid a big price in prospects. There's no doubt about that. Catcher Keibert Ruiz is on everybody's list of top young catchers in the game. They gave him and pitcher Josiah Gray to the Nationals, along with a couple other prospects. And, Nationals clearly are looking to identify young talent because, doggone, they traded, Turner and Scherzer to the Dodgers. They traded Kyle Schwarber to the Boston Red Sox earlier in the day. And, they're unloading. They're making some significant deals. And so, Washington clearly has made a decision that, they're not going to make one or two trades. They're going to make multiple deals to bring back multiple young players. And they like what the Dodgers offered and, Ruiz and Josiah Gray, among others.
From your experience, though, covering baseball for years and years, how disheartening is this for a fan base? And I know the Nationals just won a World Series in 19, but for heaven's sakes, it's the end of July, and all their big stars, it seems like, just got sent to other teams.
There's no question it's going to be disheartening for the Nationals. I mean, it's a little bit easier to take from the standpoint, as you mentioned, Amy, they won the World Series in 2019, so... it seems like since they won, by the way, in 2019, the world's just gone upside down. I mean, the Nationals, there's still kind of that afterglow in their fan base of winning the World Series. At least they've got all that World Series championship swag, the T-shirts and the caps that the fans are all wearing. But the flip side is they never really got to enjoy it because, usually the next year after winning a World Series is kind of like a victory lap, right? It's just a party at the ballpark all year long, but right after they won it came COVID, and we all went to spring training in February of 2020, and the Astros cheating scandal was going on. I can still remember the Astros and Nationals share a place in spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida. I can still remember first week of spring training 2020, the Nationals are the World Series champions, yet the national media, and I was among them, was across the complex over with the Astros because everybody was writing about the Astros cheating scandal. And then about a month, even Mike Rizzo, the Nationals general manager, said, he was disgusted. He said, geez, we are the World Series champions. And yet we had like three writers in our camp today and everybody's over at the Astros side. Then like a couple weeks later came COVID and then boom, nothing's been normal since. The Nationals only played 60 games, major leagues only played 60 games last year. And now, as you mentioned, the Nationals are so low, in the standings. And so, this whole thing has been, no question, I'm sure, disheartening for the fan base. But, and the other thing we should mention is one of the reasons they pulled the plug on this season, Steven Strasburg, who was the MVP of that World Series, he went down for the year just last week, earlier in the week, with thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. He's going to have that. So he's done. So, they're well behind in the division. They lost Strasburg. They're taking on water. Scherzer's going to be a free agent. So they just pulled the plug, and it's tough for a fan base, but at least they've got the World Series.
No one can take that incredible run away from them. Scott Miller is a longtime National Baseball insider and reporter and is also contributing to the New York Times baseball coverage this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can I ask specifically about Turner, though? If they're going young and they're looking for prospects and they want to rebuild, why not rebuild around this guy who's so dynamic, who's an all-star, and who's only 28 years old?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. And I also think, by the way, Turner is he's one of the more underrated players in the game, Amy, even though, as you mentioned, he's an all-star. But, man, this guy, he is one of the fastest players in the game. He can beat you with his wheels, his bat, his glove. Really, really solid. But, clearly I think we can infer one thing, and that is that the Nationals were not confident they could re-sign him. He is under club control for one more year. Secondly, they're going to end up with some, I don't know, finance-wise, what they project for their budget over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. But, the one guy they did keep, of course, is Juan Soto, and they're going to have to unlock the Brinks truck to keep Juan Soto here in another couple of years. So, whether that played into it or not, hard to say, but also to your point, Turner being under team control for one more year, that was the reason the Dodgers stepped in and really wanted him, because Corey Seager, who's missed the last 2 or 3 months with a broken hand in L.A., and he's finally due back, I think, this weekend, and they're expecting him back, probably activating him Friday night for their series opener in Arizona. But Corey Seager is a free agent this winter. Trey Turner is under club control for another year. So the Dodgers, you know, not only does Turner and Scherzer, does that package just make this a huge deal for the Dodgers, but Turner also gives them some insurance, because if Corey Seager walks via free agency this winter, you know, they've got Trey Turner shortstop next year.
Scott, the Dodgers, it feels like every single game is against the Giants in the last 2 weeks. I don't know how that worked out, but they have run into the Giants and really struggled with the Giants. And we know that, of course, they don't, at least this point, look like they're going to have Trevor Bauer back anytime soon. The clubhouse doesn't really want him to return. His leave has been extended. So I understand the Max Scherzer piece, but how much do you think the way they've kind of run into that brick wall that San Francisco led to them being aggressive at this trade deadline?
Oh, I think no question. They know the Padres are right there too. I mean, you know, the three-team race in the National League West is fascinating.
Yes.
And it looks like, you know, there are no guarantees, but it's about a 95% certainty that all three of those teams are going to be in the playoffs, because the way that even the wild card race is shaping up, as of right now, the Giants would win the division. Dodgers and Padres are far enough ahead in a wild card race that it looks like other teams could have trouble catching them. So you almost figure one of these three is going to win the division. The other two are going to be in the wild card race. So the Dodgers, I mean, this was a statement trade today. They, no question, made a statement. I think it's going to, you know, enhance their chances of winning the division. And to your point about the Giants, you're exactly right. I mean, they played the Giants 7 times in the last 10 or so days, and the Giants have won 5 of the 7. When this latest batch of games started, the Dodgers were in second place in the National League West behind the Giants. They were 1 game back. After today, after the Giants won 5 of 7, Dodgers now are 3 games back of the Giants. So you're right. I mean, the Giants are staring them down every bit of the race so far, and led Andrew Friedman and his people to say, all right, you know what? We're in the fight of our lives this summer, and we need to make this statement. And they sure did with the trade on Thursday.
Before we look at some of the other deals, I have to ask about the Padres. It looks like they're going to end up with Daniel Hudson. But yep. As a team that's right now sitting third in the NL West, what's the reaction from them about not being able to land that big name starter?
Well, I can tell you this. I think, you know, I'm based in San Diego, and I will say that around town early Thursday, when the rumor broke that the Padres were close to getting Scherzer, people around town were just bonkers. They were out of their minds excited. I think, you know, as Thursday afternoon changed into Thursday night, that feeling around town became much more dampened. And I think same around the Padres. I mean, you know, A.J. Preller and his people are going to be working all through the night, Thursday night. You know, I doubt they're going to get any sleep, because they know. I mean, between now and 4 o'clock Eastern Friday, it's also a race among the front offices. And they know the Padres have their best chance to win that they've had in a number of years. Mm. But they've got to come up with somebody. So, I mean, I think tonight they're hammering the Minnesota Twins with calls on Jose Barrios. You know, that's a starter that's out there that I think the Padres would love to try to acquire. Across the field this weekend, the Rockies just came to town for a 4-game series. Rockies have John Gray, who's likely on the market, and he, in fact, starts in Petco against the Padres on Friday night. We'll see if he makes that start Friday night for the Rockies. He's a guy that could go to the Padres or somewhere else.
Scott Miller is with us here from San Diego after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. What's your reaction to the Yankees being so aggressive at the deadline? It seemed like they might be buyers or they might be sellers. They're really struggling and are almost completely out of the race in the AL East.
Pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's just a couple days ago that Brian Cashman was talking about how bad the team has been playing and that, you know, hinting that it might force him to be a seller, and they went the complete opposite direction. My goodness. I mean, Joey Gallo from Texas and, you know, one day, and then Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs the next. Gallo is going to add a bunch of strikeouts to that lineup, no doubt about it. And for my money, the Yankees already have way too many strikeouts in that lineup. They are such an all or nothing team. And, you know, I think they're way too one dimensional. I think that's been part of their issue this year, or a huge part of their issue. Gallo, I is what he is. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's going to strike out a lot. He's high on base percentage guy. 38-39% of the time he's going to get on base. Anthony Rizzo is a high on base percentage guy too. I think he'll help the Yankees to a degree, but you know, whether Rizzo and Gallo can compensate for the lack of pitching that the Yankees have had this year, and whether he can compensate for the one-dimensional attack, we'll see. I mean, I you have to really like Boston and Tampa Bay, so there's certainly attention-getting moves for the Yankees, but I'm not sure they're enough to put them over the top.
What happens if they don't make the playoffs?
That's a good question. I mean, Hal Steinbrenner and the ownership group certainly seem committed to Brian Cashman and GM, and everybody in the baseball operations department has remained, say they are committed to manager Aaron Boone. But yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, the manager always feels the heat. And the fact that the Yankees made these trades for Gallo and Rizzo, I mean, that increases the pressure, certainly, because it's clear that the Yankees still believe in this team. So if they don't get to the playoffs, especially after going for it in July, it'll be really interesting to see what happens this winter. But I do think Aaron Boone's job could be in jeopardy at that point.
Scott Miller with us after hours here on CBS Sports Radio, and part of his baseball gig this year is contributing to the New York Times. Wanted to ask about Terry Francona, the Indians manager. I know he's so beloved in baseball circles and has announced that he's got some health issues that he has to address, and so he's not going to be with the Indians for the rest of the way. What do you know and what have you heard about his announcement?
Yeah, he's everybody at baseball loves Terry Francona. And I've talked to a number of people around the game today since that announcement came out that basically have said a couple of things. One, there's a lot of people around baseball very concerned with Francona. And then after that, DeMarlo Hale, who's going to be the interim manager the rest of the year, he's beloved in baseball as well. There's a lot of people rooting hard for him. Where Francona's concerned, he had a hip replacement surgery a few years back. He's going to have another one. He's been in a lot of pain this year. Basically, Amy, he needs a hip replacement surgery.
Oh.
And then after that, he's going to have a rod put in one of his feet based on he had a staph infection a few years ago, and that did some damage. And so he's been in a walking boot this year on that foot, and they can't do the rod in the foot until after the hip replacement. Once that rod gets put in his foot, he then can't bear any weight on that foot for a couple of months. So this is a process. First the hip replacement, then when that heals, the rod in the foot, then no weight bearing for a couple months. So I think the hope is from Francona and Cleveland's side that if they do this now, maybe finally he'll be in better shape and can manage beginning next spring again. But I think at this point, with him being 61, and he will have had both hips replaced and both knees replaced, not to mention the staph infection and the damage that did to his foot.
Gosh.
So I don't think there are any guarantees he'll come back. I sure know a lot of people around the game, including myself, love Francona. He's an old school baseball guy. He's a character, and everybody wishes him the best and hopes he is going to come back. But right now, he's taking care of his health, and then we'll see what happens after that.
He will be missed, but lots of support around baseball. Well,
yep.
Friday should be full of fireworks if Thursday is any indication, Scott. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, there's still, there's still some shoppers out there. As I say, the Twins are trying to sell. The Padres and Giants want pitching. The Blue Jays want another arm. They watch what the Yankees and Rays and Red Sox have done. A lot of pressure on the Blue Jays to try to keep pace. A lot of general managers aren't going to be sleeping tonight, as I know judging by the hour, nor are you and I as we continue to work through the night and chase these trade rumors.
You can find Scott on Twitter at ScottMillerBBL. He's been covering Major League Baseball for years and years on the national level and is giving us the lowdown from Southern California up to the minute. Scott, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
You got it, Amy. My pleasure. Take care. Always fun talking baseball with you, my friend.
It definitely is, especially on a day like Thursday, when we can only really get to a few of the top headlines. There's so much more that I could have talked about with Scott. But as he points out, it's a fluid situation. Baseball is in motion right now. And while I'm surprised that the Yankees decided to go so big, I'm not surprised at all about the Dodgers. They've allowed their general manager, Andrew Friedman, some great freedom to pursue championships. And to that end, they've won, seven? Don't quote me on that, but seven National League West titles in a row and are in a fight for their lives here. They've made multiple World Series appearances until finally winning in 2020. And they've spent a lot of money, and they brought in some big stars. And a couple of things have happened. They've had some big-time injuries in and out of the lineup. Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts is now on the IL, and his is a hip injury, if I remember correctly. As Scott points out, they're not sure about Corey Seager, and so Trey Turner is there just in case, though he certainly adds to the lineup. I'm always amazed at how Dave Roberts manages to navigate so much talent. And yes, there are times when you've got guys that are injured and so they're not available, but he's got so many pieces to pick and choose from. He can mix and match the lineup that he puts out there on the field. And you've got guys that can play multiple positions, though you probably don't want Cody Bellinger playing first base ever again. But the pitching thing is the big one, because with Trevor Bauer likely not coming back anytime soon, and it could be that we have seen the last of Bauer this season. If the Dodgers truly don't want him to return, I don't know what they do with that contract. Do they try to find a trade partner? I'm not really sure what happens in that situation, but at this point it has no resolution. So they needed to insert a starter. So the Dodgers are aggressive per the usual. The Yankees are aggressive per the usual. The Red Sox also pick up a bat, and we're not done. We've got more hours to go, miles and hours to go before we sleep. What was the power move of the day in sports? 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of your responses coming in, and our Facebook page as well. Mixed bag, which I love. I love it when the question produces a variety of answers. So keep them coming. Now, bottom of the hour, we're going to shift a little bit to the Olympics, because even as I watch over again on the NBC coverage tonight, it's making me emotional. I love these Olympics, and I'm not sure why fewer people are watching, except that I know a lot of our habits have changed over the last year and a half. Every sport and every event has seen waning TV ratings, but they have been so good. The coverage has been amazing, and the stories always, the Olympic spirit and the stories that come out of the games, they make me happy. They make me glad that I invested the time to watch, and sometimes I can't turn away, even when I know what's happening. All right, 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Sheila, thanks so much for tuning in.
I go back to the days of the 70s, and I became Stabler's number one fan for the Hall of Fame. And unfortunately, they're not going to put me in because they said that they weren't taking fans. And I'm really upset because Kenny would want me in there.
So you think you should be in the Hall of Fame,
yes,
as a fan?
That's right.
But why, though? What is your contribution to the game that you believe should get you into the Hall of Fame?
I've been with everything with the NFL. I just like a player. I'm no different. That's just the way it is.
Well, I appreciate you telling us your story.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm going after the rails on a crazy train.
Did you know we are a week away from the Hall of Fame game? Seriously, let that think in. Yeah, think about it. Let it sink in for a second. I got way ahead of myself there. This time next week, our first NFL preseason game will be in the books. I hope. Let's hope there isn't weather or some type of a field issue. Remember, we've had those in the past in Canton. The Hall of Fame game. Thursday, August 5th, 8 o'clock Eastern time from Canton, Ohio. And of course, that starts off the weekend. It's the beginning of the weekend with all of the enshrinement festivities. We didn't have the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction last year, and so it's a double dose. It's the Cowboys and the Steelers that will play on Thursday. Oh my gosh, this time next week, the NFL will have already played its preseason opener. Oh my gosh. I don't know what's happening. I said to a friend as well as my mom on Thursday, I don't know what happened to the month of July. It somehow got lost for me in insurance adjustments and phone calls and investigating contractors and looking for estimates for the home repairs at my house. I think I finally found a contractor, but August is going to fly by in a blur as well because work will not slow down. The Olympics take us through the whole next week. Not to mention, there'll be more and more intrigue from NFL training camps. Baseball is going to be coming off this trade deadline, and we're going to see new faces in new places and maybe some new pushes for playoff position. NBA free agency, anyone? I don't even know where to start sometimes. I'm really stunned that it's our last show in July and that this time next week, Pittsburgh and Dallas will have already lined up opposite one another. Hut, hut! It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. I hope they're ready. That Hall of Fame game is coming fast. What was the power move of the day in sports? 855-212-4227. Let's 855-212-4CBS. Cosmo says the Los Angeles Dodgers all the way. Well, they certainly made some moves. Eric agrees with the Dodgers. Robert says Suni Lee wins gold. But Matt goes back to the power move of the day. Definitely the Dodgers grabbing Scherzer from the grip of San Diego. Plus, they got Trey Turner as a cherry on top. He believes that was the order. But I'm wondering if potentially the Dodgers really wanted Turner and they saw an opportunity with Scherzer. Another tweet for the Dodgers. Their move is huge, but I'm going with Suni winning the gold. Willie says both the Yankees and the Dodgers got better. Those are all responses from Twitter. On Facebook, definitely a mixed bag. I think I prefer this one from Kelly on Facebook. Susie Lee. James, do you believe that that is autocorrect? She's a victim of autocorrect, or she just didn't know the gymnast name?
I'll give her the autocorrect benefit of the doubt.
You will. You give her the benefit of the doubt. That's really kind of you. I can't like it, though, because it would look as though I'm supporting her not checking her post before she hit send or enter. Bill on Facebook, the Yankees. But as far as Westbrook, I don't see it working. Anthony Davis and LeBron running the court. Westbrook bogarting the ball for his stat line. Bogarting the ball for his stat line. I confess I do not know what that means. Honestly, I think we've seen a pattern with these groups of stars that get together. They want to make it work. Think about Brooklyn. I said the same thing about Brooklyn. There's only one ball. How are there enough shots to go around? Now, granted, we didn't see KD, James Harden, and Kyrie play a lot of games together. What, were they not even on the floor, including playoffs, in 15 total games? I don't even think they played 15 total games together. So they didn't really have to worry about it as much. But the combo was one with power and pop and energy and excitement. And they were willing to subvert their own personal stat lines for the good of the team. I do think with Westbrook being his early 30s and LeBron being late 30s, that he and Westbrook both understand there's only so many chances left to win a title. And Westbrook will be on his fourth roster in 4 years. There's some major motivation there. Whatever it takes. And I thought he and Bradley Beal played well together. I didn't think that they had any trouble distributing shots or figuring out who would take the shot and when. Though the Wizards have been a mess for a while. Benny says Westbrook to the Lakers. Robbie goes with Oklahoma and Texas. The SEC has officially and unanimously voted to extend invitations to OU and Texas to join the league. So the only thing that's left that could potentially hold up this deal, which it won't, is that Oklahoma and Texas have to officially accept the offer. It's all very formal, you know. A unanimous vote by the SEC. Even Texas A&M said, yep, come on down. What was the power move of the day in sports? 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, plus our Facebook page. I watched the Olympics coverage almost from start to finish with the help of my DVR. And I'm once again blown away by the stories and the emotions. And so Suni Lee, you'll hear her talk about her gold medal in the women's all-around competition, as well as a couple other stories that I have to share.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Frida, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy.
Well, hello, dear. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Just called to tell you how wonderful I think you are.
Oh.
I know you hear that from all the guys. I listen. I've never called before, but I've been listening for a year. I hear all the good things that they say, but your enthusiasm and your charisma comes right through the radio to me.
Well, you're very sweet. I'm glad that you listen.
You just keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much, ma'am.
You have a good night and a good day.
You too, sweetheart. Appreciate your phone call.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We don't have a lot of women call the show, but when we do, it's always special to me. And I haven't heard from Rita or Ellen or some of our elder states women who had called the show in the past. And I think over the course of the pandemic, people got out of not just their TV viewing habits, but their radio listening habits. And I hope that many of you have returned to listen to the show, but if not, I know that we've increased our audience in other ways, too. So a lot of people out of routines and finding a new radio show is their favorite companion, which is cool. Radio really is a constantly changing audience, even in the course of a segment. I'm not sure if you know this. Now, it's a little different on the overnights because people tend to be more stationary on the overnights. And by the time we get to early morning, people are doing a lot of their commuting on the East Coast or in the Central time zone. But what happens in this time slot, the overnight time slot, is that you have people who are working, who are driving for work, who are hanging out maybe at home, if they're studying, if they're cleaning, if they're doing something else at home. And so they tend to be in one place or at least doing one thing for longer, which means that they can listen longer. But generally, typically, a radio listener doesn't even spend 5 minutes at a time listening to a particular show. You might not believe it, but the whole idea in radio is to get people to stay longer than 5 minutes. As I say, we're pretty blessed here on the overnight because people tend to tune in longer. And then I think it's so cute when people complain to me about how I spent 3 hours on the same topic, which doesn't happen much this time of the year. Though we did spend a lot of time on, say, the Simone Biles situation earlier this week. And I'm tempted to write back and say thank you for listening all 4 hours because you actually did me a solid, but I don't. I'd rather they be oblivious and just complain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, coming up on this weekend on CBS, there's a lot happening in sports, and CBS is in on the action. Starting Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, that's noon Pacific, summer hoops, some summertime in the Big Three. Then on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, so late morning Pacific, you can kick back, max relax on your couch and watch. Well, see, this is not good. You don't want me to tell you to kick back on your couch and watch some of the fittest athletes around the globe compete against each other at the CrossFit Games because you're going to feel as though they're putting you to shame. Or maybe you just finished a workout, so you don't mind sitting on your couch. So that's at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, followed by the Major League Rugby Championship. It's all coming up this weekend on CBS. Of course, the Olympics continue this weekend as well, and it's kind of the heart of the Olympics, this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And even as now they are into their Friday evening, Friday late afternoon, they've got a lot of events that are still going on live right now. So I've got USA Network with women's diving, actually, is taking place right now, as well as a replay of what happened in the pool on Friday morning, Tokyo time, and a replay of the gymnastics. Now, I watched all of the coverage on Thursday night primetime on NBC, and I cried more than once. Teary. I get very emotional as I'm watching these events. And then the swimming that was taking place live, it stresses me out, especially the sprints. Oh, my God. And there were once again some very close finishes that had me up out of my chair. But let me start with the Olympics because the big story from these summer games for Team USA has been the withdrawal of Simone Biles. And I'm not sure if you saw her social media posts on what would have been Friday, Tokyo time. But she's actually said that she's plagued by a condition that gymnasts referred to as the twisties, which can result in serious injuries if gymnasts are trying to do routines where they're flying through the air and twisting and turning. They're airborne, so to speak, and yet they lose track of where they are in the air. As you can imagine, you could break a neck, you could break a back, you could break an ankle, you could break all kinds of things. Because not only are you taught as a gymnast how to tumble and how to fly through the air, but you're also taught how to take a fall so you don't injure yourself. That's one of the very first things you're taught as a gymnast. So if you don't know where you are in the air, you can't fall correctly even when you lose your balance. So she posted a video of herself in practice on the beam on Friday. She tried a particular twist move and she fell flat on her back. And along with the video, she commented this: "I don't think you realize how dangerous this is on hard, competitive surface." She had also had a pretty bad fall in the vault, or not a fall, but she had a really difficult vault, remember, to start the women's team competition on Tuesday. And she said that that's when she realized that I had the twisties. And she says it randomly started happening after prelims competition the very next morning, right? So she didn't have this happen during trials. It didn't even happen at the start of the Olympics, but it did happen in that morning's competition before the team final when she withdrew. She says, and she was answering some questions from fans on social media. She says, "I can't even fathom twisting right now. I seriously cannot comprehend how to twist. Strangest and weirdest thing, as well as feeling." She says, "This time it's literally on every event, which sucks really bad." So I feel for her. I'm glad she did not hurt herself. Into that void stepped Jade Carey. So instead of Simone Biles and Suni Lee competing in the all-around competition on Friday in Tokyo, it was Suni Lee, who had finished behind Simone in a bunch of events at world championships, both individual as well as in the all-around competition. And she was a favorite to medal, but Simone was the favorite, the gold medal standard. And so Suni ends up putting together this phenomenal uneven bars, which is what she's known for, this phenomenal routine. She killed it. She had a good vault. She had a strong floor exercise. She managed early in her balance bar routine or balance beam routine not to fall off. There was a moment where she kind of lost track of where she was and nearly fell off, but she managed to gather herself and continue forward. And so her reaction when she found out that she had held on for the gold medal was priceless. She's very stoic normally, very calm, very poised, but pretty amazing to see her break out into, you know, cheers and a huge smile when she realized that she was the all-around champion.
It just feels so surreal. Like, it doesn't even feel like real life. Like, I'm an Olympic gold champion. Like, it just doesn't make sense. But I'm super excited. I'm so proud of myself. I've been working towards this my whole life, and it just feels amazing.
So congratulations to the St. Paul native. And if you're watching the various coverage, you may have seen that she had hundreds of people gathered together in St. Paul around her family. So her dad, who is paralyzed from the waist down, had a bad accident in 2019. So, it could, you know, cannot be with her a lot of the times when she's doing these competitions. Her mom, as well as so many other extended family members and friends that were packed into a venue in St. Paul because they all wanted to cheer her on. And they were going crazy at the time. So really neat to see her in Tokyo, and then the shots and the videos of her family and her friends. We'll hear more from her, plus one of my favorite stories from swimming on Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.